better place in the whole wide world to be than church. And I'm going to tell you right now, for the next 2-3 hours, let's just concentrate on... Title of the message this morning is Build the Old Wastes. Build the Old Wastes. Grab your Bibles, turn to chapter number 61 of Isaiah. Chapter number 61 of Isaiah. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Chapter 61, verse 4. I cannot believe Kenny had his spine replaced. That is amazing how far we've come. Yeah. Glory to God. We love you, Kenny. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Let's pray. Dear Lord, be with my pastor. Lord, I just don't like it when he's not well. I don't like it when he's down. I don't like it when he's not here. Lord, we need him. And Lord, you know that. So please, heal him up quickly. Heal him up so he may be able to walk very freely again with no pain. Lord, I would that you'd bring him to a full state of health too, not just the foot, Lord. I just believe that there's many things that he needs to change. And Lord, I would that you'd get inside of him and help him to do those things so he can become healthy. Lord, please be with him. Lord, be with these people. I believe what you're going to say to them this morning is very important for their lives. So Lord, please let it be you that speaks through me and not me doing the speaking. Lord, always my prayer. Lord, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything through this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read at all about Billy Sunday, who was one of the greatest evangelists, one of the greatest preachers that's probably ever walked the earth, you'll know that he fought a battle over prohibition, getting alcohol prohibited from the United States of America. You know, that wasn't so long ago. In years speaking, I mean, that really wasn't so long ago. It's amazing how far we've come to where alcohol actually invades probably 75% of the commercials that we see on TV today. It's amazing how far we've come from a country that actually was godly enough to ban alcohol to a country that has embraced it so that not only is it part of social life, it is part of everyday life, whether you're in social environments or not. And it was told in these books that you would read about Billy Sunday that he would read this verse just before he preached every time that he would get up to preach. It's Isaiah 61 and verse 1. I want you to look at that quickly. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now, that's an exciting verse to me. That's a preacher that knows his calling, knows what he's supposed to do. When he goes out, he's supposed to preach. And when those messages come, he's supposed to bind up brokenhearted, free the captives, do the great things that God has anointed him to do. My question is this only a verse for preachers? I want you to look at that again with me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Let's break this down just quickly. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. If you're saved today, you can have the Spirit of the Lord God upon you. Amen. Is that right? Well, that's good stuff. If we stopped there, you'd be happy, but I wouldn't be done. It's something that you can have. Now, there is a time when the Spirit of the Lord, not the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, but that Spirit can leave you for a time, where you're not necessarily doing the will of God, or you're not necessarily attempting and knowing what God wants you to do. And that's okay, because we're too hard on ourselves as Christians sometimes. Sometimes we feel like if we're not leading a perfect life, that we're not being a good Christian. Hold the phone. The Lord knows that there's not a perfect liver out there. He didn't die for people that live perfectly. He died for us. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, I understand a woman can't be a preacher, a pastor preacher. But I got news for you, ladies. Don't think for one minute that you can't talk about the Lord. Don't think that you can't preach good tidings unto the meek. What's amazing to me is I get this people all the time saying, you know what, ladies, you ought to be quiet. Why? I mean, I know the Bible says that in church women ought to keep silent. I think that's talking about women rabble-rousers that want to stand up and say, no, preacher, you're wrong. There's nothing wrong with a lady saying amen in church. There's nothing wrong with a lady going and telling somebody about Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with a lady going and telling somebody it's going to be all right because my Savior liveth. So there's two parts of that verse, brother, that don't necessarily go just towards preachers. I mean, it certainly fits a preacher, but it doesn't necessarily go right towards just preachers. Understand this. I'm telling you this because I want you to realize just because you're not pastor or just because you're not preaching from behind a pulpit does not mean that you are exempt from preaching. See, the Lord wants you to tell people about Him and not just about Him for salvation, although that is vastly more important. But they also want you to tell each other about how good God is. Let me tell you something. The Lord took Kenny through a surgery that I can't even imagine. That's good. I was in the hospital with Brother Hargett. And Brother Hargett, man, I tell you, they were talking about heart trouble and they were talking about all this other, and here he is today, no problem. The Lord is good. See, a lot of times, we can't wait to tell people about the bad things. You've got to know about this because it's bad. But we hesitate to talk about the good things. You know what's funny? I talked this morning about how on the news I don't like to watch it because it's always such bad news. I just get tired of watching bad news, how babies are dying in house fires and how things. I feel bad for those people, but boy, I tell you, after a while, it just seems like the whole world is falling apart, and maybe it is. But you know what? God is still on the throne. God is still in control, and I've got to believe that God knows exactly what's going on here. That being said, how much has Christianity changed into the evening news? Boy, look at the scowls I'm getting. Woo, maybe you know some bad news. Bad news is I'm preaching this morning. You know, it's amazing how quick we are to not bring good tidings unto the meek, but bring bad tidings unto the meek. Well, God's on the throne, but I can't make my bills. Yeah, that's bad news. I've been there, and there's nothing more stressful to a man than not being able to pay his bills. Nothing, not one thing. I really believe that with all my heart. Not one thing more stressful to a man than not being able to pay the bills. And that stress passes right down to the wife. The wife has to feel that same stress. And then wives go through the fact, well, I'm just a housewife. How in the world? That's a horrible, horrible stress to have on a woman. I tell you, you ladies are amazing to me how strong you stay. Nothing more stressful than financial difficulties. However, the Lord still says that He'll provide for your needs. I wonder if not most of the time we haven't put ourselves into financial difficulty. I put myself in my financial problems. Nobody helped me out at all. Okay? Brother Dave put Brother Dave in Brother Dave's financial problems. It's a lot of Brother Dave's in one sentence, isn't it? Yeah. So why in the world would I want to go to Andrew and say, well, I just don't think I'm going to make it because I can't pay my bills. You made them, stupid. You should have remembered that you couldn't pay them before you made them. That rhymed. Wiki, wiki, wiki. I just got blamed. We can't wait to bring bad news, but you know what? Well, I wonder if every once in a while, if we didn't have good news to tell somebody. You know how excited I was to hear this morning Maria Fowler is actually Maria Fowler? You know how excited I was this morning that Kenny came through his surgery, that Liz is doing all right? You know what's amazing to me is that we've got a lot of good news on our lips, but it's amazing how little we do give good news. I've got good news. There's a fellow here that I haven't seen in ages, and he's here today. I'm so thankful that you're here today. It's so good to see Alan this morning. I'm so thankful that you're here. So good to see visitors. I'm so thankful that you're here. Man, that's a lot of good news. It'd be amazing if we could tell each other about good things instead of always the bad. Man, I get to preach a lot of funerals. You know what's funny? I hear a lot of good news during the funerals. I never fault anybody for how they react at a time of death, because everybody handles death differently, okay? Some people clam up. Some people are real loud. Some people are mad. Some people are happy that their loved one's in heaven. Some people are coming to grips with it, and they're in a transition between feelings. But the time I get to sit with the families, it's amazing. I've never had a time, except one. I've never had a time other than one time, and I've preached well over 100 of them, that they haven't smiled during the time and they were telling me the good news about their loved one. The good news. You know, Jesus came to this earth to give us some news. Do you think the news was good, or do you think it was bad? When Jesus came, he gave us good news. And the good news is, I am come that you might have life. Amen. And that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Christians, I read you this verse this morning because I want you to see that you have an abundant life. You've got it. You don't need to go anywhere else to get it. It's been given to you, an abundant life. Brother Dave, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. You know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. Back and forth. I'm going to tell you right now, understand this. I believe that this is the God's honest. I believe this with all my heart. Everybody's problems in here are as big as everybody else's problems. I don't care if you think you've got a big problem. Somebody else looks at your problem and says, that's a small problem. No, that's a big problem. Because to them, it's a big problem. It's obviously a big problem. We fall short a lot of times because we disregard other people's sufferings as not as good as ours. Understand this. Everybody's suffering the same in this room right now. We need to bind up the brokenhearted. We need to bring good news to the meek. Because I'm telling you, I needed some good news today. And when Sammy came back and said, my dad gets to stay in Africa, that was good news. When Eddie said that Lizzie's doing just fine, that was good news. When they said Maria was Fowler now, that was good news. Why in the world can't we just keep spreading good news? It's amazing how quick we are to tell each other about the bad. Look at the next. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now listen, if this is talking about Christians here, which I believe that it is, I believe this verse pertains to you just as much as any preacher. To bind up the brokenhearted, he sent you to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, Brian, I'm not going to send you to do a job that you are incapable of doing. Hear me now. I am not going to send Brother Steve Minos to do a job that he's not capable of doing. If I said, Brother Steve Minos, I'm sending you to coach Bethel Baptist Church Softball League. You know why he got sent to do that? Because we knew he could do it. It wasn't a question of not having the capabilities. We knew he could do it. So the Lord says, Jim, well, I'm sending you to bind up the brokenhearted. Think about that for a minute. Now, hold on. Now, don't just disregard what I'm saying here. You got to hear this for a minute. The Lord said he's sending you, Christian, to bind up the brokenhearted. That means he believes you're capable. Now, I'm not talking about capable within yourself, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But it's amazing how much the Lord can do through somebody to help bind the brokenhearted. In this room today, I'm looking on a lot of faces. And I would just about bet that most of us have a broken heart. See, Dr. Hiles always used to say, if you can preach to the brokenhearted, you'll never have an empty pew. Because there's so many broken hearts throughout this world. But I think where the Christian misses his calling is that he believes that it's just somebody else's job to take care of the brokenhearted, when that's so not true. It's your job as a Christian to help people. It's your job as a Christian to understand that you can bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You can bring the good tidings of Jesus Christ to people. I'm going to tell you right now today, Arlene, I don't know how people make it without the Lord today. I don't know how people make it without Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. And I'm telling you, I know a lot of tough hombres. I know a lot of people that I would never fight with, and I'm thankful that they're my friend. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if they weren't my friend, I'd be scared to death that they were my enemy. Because they're big, bad sticks. But you know what? They are just as brokenhearted as the rest of this whole wide world, and they have the ability, just like everybody else, to bring good tidings to people, to help heal their broken heart. I always pick on Sean and the biker group. They look tough, and they are, man. Bikers are tough. I'd never mess with a biker. But understand this. There's not a more caring heart than that group of men that sits right there. There's not. They don't exist, man. They love, with their pure heart, I love it so much. I love being with those people. Those people, like they're somebody different. They're no different. I'm just stupid standing up here. But understand this, they care. As a matter of fact, I've never met a biker that doesn't care yet. Never met one. And understand this, they have come. And by the way, Sean, you're sent by God to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, there may be people only Sean can reach. I might go into a room full of bikers, and they look at me and say, get out of here, purple shirt wearer. Shh. No talk out of you, Sean. Hey, my wife set this out for me this morning. You take it up. She didn't, but. There may be people that only you can reach. Only you. That's why a preacher can't be sent to everybody. I can't be sent to everybody. I might be able to reach Coolidge and help mend his broken heart, but I might not be able to mend Steve Minoza's broken heart. I might not be able to mend Carl's, but Carl's may be able to mend Stevie's. And that, it goes on and on and on. There may be somebody that you're called to. And if you don't do your job of bringing good news, if you don't do your job of helping to mend the broken hearts, what if somebody continues to walk with a broken heart because of you? When you bring good news and good tidings, you help to mend. When you bring bad news, you help to break. I'm not saying to lie to people, but isn't there some things that maybe you don't have to tell? Aren't there some things that maybe you need to keep your mouth shut about? Amen. Now listen to me. I have got every right in the world to tell you these things because I lived it. I lived my life in a way that I couldn't wait to tell bad news. I couldn't wait for somebody around me to fall so I could go tell everybody in the whole wide world. You might say, what kind of preacher are you? A human one. You should be a human Christian once. It would lead you to repentance. What's amazing is the Lord gives chances over and over and over again. I'd like to live my life today talking about the good things in people. I'd like to live today talking about healing up broken hearts. We live in a life that's more difficult than it's ever been in all of history. Yet we have a chance as Christians to go throughout this world preaching good tidings to people, bringing great joy, and binding up broken hearts. And what's amazing is your burden of binding up broken hearts is going to give you relief from your bad news. You help somebody, it makes you feel good. Man, that's great. It didn't even cost you nothing to tell good news. Binding up broken hearts. If you know something that's not good about somebody else, shut up. And yes, Jim, shut down. He says shut never goes up, except when you shut your car window. I got him on that one. He can say what he wants. You shut your car window, it's going up. Care how you do? He says, roll up. Well, I don't roll up. I got a power button on mine. You should get into the 20th century. Hey, Kathy, I told him not to do it. I told him, it's the battle of wits. He comes in unarmed. I'm telling you, stay out of it, dude. Shh. Bind up the brokenhearted to proclaim liberty to the captives. Man, that's good. What if you knew you had freedom? I'm not talking about freedom America gives. We're taking away more freedoms every single day. I'm talking about freedom that God gives. Now, what's that freedom? We talk about it flippantly. I've got liberty in Christ. Do you have liberty in Christ? Because if you had liberty in Christ, I think you'd be more excited about Christ. What does liberty in Christ mean, Andrew? It means I'm not going to ask you. But liberty in Christ means that if you mess up, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you have the right to just go out and mess up. But if you do mess up and you do realize, because you are still a sinner. Everybody in here is still sinners, right? I'm not preaching anybody perfect, am I? I didn't think so. Although some of us are very close. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody in here is even close to perfect. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And here we are, a bunch of sinners that have liberty in Christ. Yet we still live in guilt over our sin. Why is your heart broke? Because I'm a sinner. That's a good thing to know. Because when you're in touch with the fact that you're a sinner, you can realize that you still have a Savior.
Amen.
You want to get your broken heart bound up? Realize that you are a sinner and God knows all about it. The Bible says He knows our frame. My frame's a wicked frame. My frame's a sinful frame. And by the way, if you look at your frame is just the same as my frame. Wiki, wiki. I'm going to tell you right now, you are somebody that the Lord cared enough about that He chose you over a band of perfect angels that fell and died for you, for you, for you He died for. Man, that's just some good news today. Let's look on. Give liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We can go tell people about Christ and lead them to the liberty that we have. But you're not going to do that if you're gossiping about the person's faults next to you. You're not going to tell people about Christ when you're constantly bringing bad news. Quit bringing bad news. You sound like Barbara Walters. Quit bringing bad news. You sound like Walter Cronkite. Nobody more cranky in the whole wide world than Cronkite. With a name like Cronkite, you got to be cranky. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That verse is telling you there's going to be a day, Christian, when you go to heaven. There's going to be a day when you break loose of the surly bonds of earth. There's going to be a day when you don't live in sin anymore, but we live in a glorious, sinless life of heaven. What an exciting day. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now listen, this verse is telling you that you need to exchange some of the bad news that people give you for some of the good news that you have. And if you can exchange some of the good for the bad, they'll become people that become like trees of righteousness. I shall not be moved. A tree that's planted by the waters. See, that tree of righteousness, I'm going to tell you right now, if you live your life realizing, you know what, the Lord's taking care of me, you know what people will find in you? They'll find strength. They'll find strength in you. They'll find strength like that big oak tree that's sitting right by the water. Real big and strong, real big and tall. Took them hundreds and hundreds of years to grow. By the way, Christian, slow down your growth a little bit sometimes. You said, Brother Dave, that's crazy. Why would you say slow down your growth? Because you know what? A tree that grows slower grows stronger. You get a tree that grows up in 10 years, real tall, 40 foot, one wind comes and the thing goes over. I'm talking about strong trees that realize it and grew in God's grace slowly like He'd have you to grow. And what's amazing to me is you get a whole forest of people like that that are getting their strength from someone other than themselves, getting them strength from Jesus Christ. You got a whole forest full of them. What's going to happen? You're going to find more people that want to be part of that forest. If you start bringing good tidings of great joy, you start bringing things that are good news to people, they're going to want to be part of what you have. But if you're going to bring bad news every time you talk to somebody, good night, you might as well forget it. You're going to lose friends is what's going to happen. Because after a while, I get sick of hearing the bad news. Say amen to that. After a while, I get sick of hearing the bad news. That's why I turn the TV off during news time. Forget them. Hey, you know what? I know what's going on. I know this is old sin curse world. I know it. I can see it. But you know what? Sometimes I need to hear about Jesus more. You're a preacher. You ought to want to hear. No, you ought to want to hear Him too. You ought to want to hear about Jesus Christ. You ought to want to hear good news. You know, everybody that's in every one of these pews, Jack Hiles always used to say, be nice to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. Every person that's in one of these pews, every single person that's in one of these seats, every single one of them has a bad time in their life. And they may be going through it right this minute. So the last thing they need is for you to tell them about your bad times. You know what? Tell them about your good times. Let's tell them about what Jesus has done for you, not what Jesus has done to you. Oh, man, that's good right there. Somebody ought to write that down. I might sign my own Bible after I'm done here. I'm going to tell you right now. I get tired of hearing about what God has done to people. How dare you? What God has done to you? Are you kidding me? What he did to you was made you a child of his. If he did nothing else, that's enough. If he didn't supply a heaven for you, that's enough. If he didn't make a mansion for you, it would still be enough. If he gave me a shed in heaven, I'd take it. And by the way, that's probably what he's got planned for me. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. I look at that and replace you with Brother Dave. I go to prepare a place for Brother David. It'll take me about 5 minutes. Because I got a doghouse with a chain right there that he can be in the rest of his life, all of eternity. Is it just for the charismatics to say that Jesus Christ loves you? I think we ought to talk about sin a lot because sin is in the world. But understand this. There's broken hearts everywhere. And you have got to help the brokenhearted. You've got to help the brokenhearted. There's nobody else that can help bind their heart. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're going to find it with God's people. Because he's anointed you and sent you. I can't believe he chose me for salvation, let alone picking me for his team. Man, when I was in elementary school, I always picked dead last. If I walked away, they wouldn't even miss me. Every time I was up to kick the ball, everybody would go, oh, move in. The Lord looks at you and picks you first. How can he do that? There's so many of us. Because he's God. He can pick you first, all of you at once. How great is that? I pick you. And everybody's on his team at the same time. And man, when you get up to kick the ball, Kyle XY, when you get up to kick the ball, I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord says, everybody back up! Kyle's up to kick! I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where we are so sad sacked, we are so worried, this whole world's going to blow up. Let it blow, brother! I got heaven waiting for me! Amen. Bind up the brokenhearted. We'll get to the title of the message here in a minute. And once you have this forest of righteous people, now I'm not talking righteous in your own selves, I'm talking righteous through God. Righteous people, a whole forest full of them. What do those people do? They build the old wastes. What in the world is the old wastes? I can only take a couple minutes here, but I can think of a few things real quickly. One of the old wastes in this world is sitting right in my hand. Rebuilding the King James Bible is something we really need to take seriously. We really need to take seriously rebuilding this old book because this is the only Word of God that we have. That's it. If you want to know about Christ, don't take your Bible away because that's where he's found. I get in arguments all the time. How do you know it's a pure Word of God? I said, how do you know it's not? Because I'd rather believe in something. Hey, you know what? I'll go to heaven believing in this. The Lord can tell me different when I get there. And if the Lord says, you know what, it really wasn't the King James, but I appreciate your effort, I guarantee you he would appreciate our effort for wanting to stick to his word. Because he magnifies his word above every name. That includes his own name. See, what's amazing to me is we handle the Bible like it's so flippant. And that's why it's an old waste. That's why it's an old desolation. That's why it's a city that needs to be rebuilt. How much do you care about that city that you hold in your hands? How much do you care about that desolation that you hold in your hands? Do you open that city every day and take a look at what's inside? Do you care about what that desolation has for your life? Because if you don't care, it's going to be a waste. Do you know how things become wasted? They don't care about it enough to keep it up. I've talked to several people doing maintenance on their homes Do you know what's going to happen if you don't do the maintenance to your home? It's going to lie in waste. You have to keep up. You have to work at it. You have to do things to make it stronger. And the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 61 that if you care, the desolation is going to be rebuilt. Those old cities are going to be rebuilt. Well, Brother Dave, okay, I'm thankful. We're in a King James Bible church here. This is a strong city here. This is a strong city surrounded by tall walls. Nobody's going to break into this city here on the King James Bible. No way. You can get out of here. I'm going to tell you right now, this means nothing to you, but I promise you, you will lose a pastor and associate pastor before you will ever change from the King James Bible to anything else. And I got to believe 98 to 99% of you in here would leave if we ever changed anything when it came to the Word of God. And glory to God, you should feel that way. I thought about the King James Bible. Then I thought about, you know what else has gone to the wayside? Old waste is our old music. Oh, he's going to get music now. I cannot believe he went to the music. You know what's sad? What's sad is you don't care. What's sad is we have an opportunity, and you might wonder, I'm just going to give you an example. And there's nothing, there's nothing wrong with having a background tape and have the singer sing with them. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what's sad is with the background tapes, things start to creep in. Things start to creep in that really aren't that godly. You might say, well, you're just a fud-dud church. You don't want to live in the now. You don't want to live, no, I want to live in the then. You know what, I'll tell you right now, Brother Bud, I wish I was your age. Because I'm going to tell you, I'd rather live in your days than live in mine. Because in my days, there's things aren't going so well. My generation doesn't want to work. My generation doesn't have any ethics. My generation doesn't have any morality. My generation has no standards. I'd rather live in a generation that had those things. Yeah. Amen. I'm 37 years old and probably the oldest 37-year-old you've ever met. Because I would love to live in a day where you could shake a man's hand and that was enough. I would love to live in a day where your word meant something. You know what? We ought to rebuild those old cities again. We ought to rebuild the times when, if you're an older person, you know what I'm talking about. A time when you could walk the streets and not worry about who else was in the shadows. A time when you could leave your door unlocked and not worry about getting your house all stolen. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to rebuild some of those old cities. Amen. And he gives you the blueprint in the first few verses of how to do that. I wonder, if a drug user had a mended, broken heart, would he steal for his drug addiction?
No.
Ooh.
Nope.
Because I promise you, drug abuse probably started at a party.
Yeah.
Seeking for acceptance,
yep,
because his heart was broke.
Yep. That's right.
And the reason that you kept doing the drugs was because there were other people around you with the same broken heart and you just fit together. I used to be a drinker, and I'm telling you right now, I loved it because I was with people that had the same things that I had. We had broken hearts. We didn't feel like we fit in. So alcohol made us a gang. It's amazing to me that I think most of the country's problems could be fixed with a good old-fashioned mending of a broken heart. With a good old-fashioned repenting of what you were and realizing what you are and changing into something great that you can be for God. Becoming a forest of righteous trees for Him. Do you realize that you can do those things? You can do them. I'm trying to bring you good news today. I'm trying to tell you, you know what? God wants you, not Uncle Sam, God. Apparently, Uncle Sam doesn't want you after you get hurt. I've never heard anything so crazy. Yeah, you almost gave your life for us. I can't even imagine that. That is beyond my comprehension. If you gave your life for Christ, do you think He'd turn you loose? Ooh, man, I tell you, Brother Dave, you're really nailing the nail today. You're really hitting it today, Brother Dave. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm starting to get aggravated. I might walk out of here. The door's right there, but our ushers are big. Take your chances. The old wastes. How about godly standards? I'm talking about ones that line up with Scripture. I'm not talking about these crazy notions everybody gets. That if I do this and I do this, I'm better to God. You know what? Why don't you read your Bible one time and see what the Bible has to say about your godly standards that you hold yourself to. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't one of us good enough in here to think that we live a certain way, God's going to be closer to us. Or we do certain things and God will be... I believe there's things that can take you away from God. But understand this, God follows you where you're going. If you're going to a bad way, and I'm only saying this because not to excuse anything that I've done. I don't care about that. I just understand that my Savior realizes who I am. He knows my frame. And if he knows my frame, he knows what comes with it. And it's that frame that he died for, not the one that you think you want to be. He died for the sinful frame. That's who he died for. And yes, I believe, and just like I said, I think you ought to grow in grace, but I think you ought to grow slowly. You know one of the worst things you can do? I believe this all my heart. One of the worst things you can do is forsake this for any other book. Ooh, now, I want you to hold the phone here for a minute, because a lot of you will probably say, well, Brother Dave, you forsake your Bible reading and read something else that somebody else has to say? This is what God has to say. Who would you rather listen to? Hey, if I ever write a book, don't ever... That's funny. I can't even spell book. If I ever write a book, don't sit there and read my book over this. This is the Bible. This is God's word to you. I've seen so many Christians that are brand new Christians. Oh, you've got to get the documentary by Joel Osteen. He can help you to lead the joyful... Boy, you've been talking about him a lot, Brother Davey. I know I don't. I just don't like him. I just don't like him. You ought to like everybody. Sorry. You read his book, and I've had lots of people say, wow, that's a wonderful book. When did you read this last? When did you read your King James Bible last? I don't care what the man is. I love Dr. Al Lacy, but I'm not going to read Dr. Al Lacy's books before I read this. And Dr. Lacey's telling me truth out of this, but I'm not going to read that before I read this. We forsake the old ways. We forsake the Bible and go to the new things. We got to hear what everybody new is saying. Boy, to me, that is a tragedy. I told a friend that came here a long time ago. He was all excited, and I thank God for excitement. He was all excited. Man, what can I read? What can I read? What can I read? Give me this. Give me this. I want to have this. I want to have this. I want to read dissertations from this guy. I want to read Charles Spurgeon. I want to read this. I'm glad. Amen to all those people. But glory to God, if you don't read this first, you got a problem. You better read your Bible before you ever read any commentaries. I don't care if they're from Charles Haddon Spurgeon himself. He was a good preacher. Amen. Billy Sunday, great preacher. Amen. But how dare we think that he's better than this? Godly standards that line up with Scripture. Huh. Being a Baptist. That's an old waste today, brother. Being a Baptist. You say you're a Baptist to people, that, oh, you're one of those weird ones. You must be a holy roller. You know what? I can't wait to go to heaven and roll on the street. Finally fit the bill. Holy roller, here I am. Lord's going to look down and say, man, you're dumb. He's going to tell me, you're just as dumb here as you were there. You're supposed to have more brain here, brother. Yeah, I just want to roll. I wish we could get back to some of that stuff. I wish we could get back to being a Baptist again and not have to. I'm telling you right now, I am Baptist, and I'm not just a big B. I'm capitalized all the rest of the letters, too. I'm capitalized Baptist from the bottom of my heels all the way to the top of my head, capitalized in red letters, underscored in italics. As much as you can do on a computer, that's how much Baptist I am. Amen. I want to be part of the church that God started. Now understand this. Every religion, I don't care which one you go across, all of America, every one of them got somebody that's going to heaven. It's not about the religion. It's about who you believe. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no religion that's out there, and I don't even like the word religion, there's none out there that are closer to the scripture that are independent, fundamental, big B-A-P-T-I-S-T, Baptist. Not one. One amen. Boy, that's sad, boys. One amen. I'm glad it was a deacon. You might say, well, Brother Dave, what in the world does it matter that you're Baptist? I'll give you a perfect example. If you're an American in here today, would you like to trade this out for a Russian flag? Whoa! You can't be talking communism in here, you pinko! If you are an American, brother, you care about this because you are an American! And I want to be different than the whole rest of the world because the whole rest of the world relies on us. I like that spot. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am an American. I dare you to burn the flag in front of me. I don't care how big you are. I'm taking a shot at you. I'm taking a shot. I will punch you right in your mouth. You get the biggest guy in there, I'll punch you in the mouth. I may go down swinging, but I am still going down swinging. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're part of something that's greater than anything else that's in the whole wide world, this country, United States of America. Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, what's that have to do with being a Baptist? Being a Baptist distinctives you from somebody else. I know that's not a good sentence, but I'm going to take it anyways. I'm going to tell you right now, it makes you something different.
That's right. That's right.
Just as that flag makes you different. I tell you what, I don't care about being a Baptist. Well, you ought not care about being an American then. That's treading on sacred ground right there, brother. I am a Baptist. Don't call me a Presbyterian. Don't call me a Protestant.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, you Baptists, a bunch of Protestants. The Protestants didn't come around for 300 or 400 years later. Don't talk to me about being a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I was around at the zero year.
Yeah.
When John the Baptist walked the earth.
Amen.
You know, I say, well, he was just a baptizer. That's what the Catholics love to call him. And if you're Catholic, I love you just like anybody else. But understand this. When they call him baptizer, why didn't they call Philip over in Acts the baptizer? Because what did Philip do? He baptized somebody. But they didn't say, well, Philip the baptizer went up and baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't say that, no, because John was the Baptist.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It was not Protestant heads that hung on the lampposts all the way from 30 miles into on the roads into Rome. It was not their heads. It was ours.
That's right.
It was not their blood that was spilled. The blood of Catholics were the ones that were spilling them. Well, you shouldn't be against the Catholics right there. Well, then don't be. But I am against anything that wants to kill Christians.
Amen.
The Baptist blood has been shed all these years, so we have freedom.
Yes.
And you guys say, well, what do you mean freedom? Freedom. Freedom from sin. That's what they wanted to tell us.
Yep.
They passed that to us. And we've laid that to waste. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with all my heart that there's enough of red-blooded Americans in this room to never let this be laid to waste. But is there enough red-blooded Baptists to never let that be laid to waste?
Amen.
Because I've got news for you. Being a Baptist, and you're not going to like this, is more important than being good to that flag. Because it's not the Baptist that got your religion. Please don't misread me here. But it's what you stand for. It's what you stand for. Now understand this. I know you were American first. And maybe that didn't make sense to you. But understand this. Jesus came to this earth and gave us a man and his name was John. And they called him John the Baptist. He said, repent. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm going to tell you right now, when is the time that our country became more important than God? Our country was founded on God. God founded our country. And I'm going to tell you, nobody is more patriotic than I. There's no way you'll ever, I'm telling you right now, don't ever go against the United States in front of me. Too many men gave their lives for my freedom. I don't take that lightly. But far too many men gave their life for my freedom here too. And I don't take that lightly either. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to build the old ways. And I'm going to read this, and we'll be all done. My last one was right being right and wrong being wrong. I sure would love to go back to that old city. In this crazy day, if you're right, you're probably wrong. And if you're wrong, you're probably right. It's crazy. I want to read this to you again. I want you to read the scripture with me. Please open up your Bibles one more time when we're all done. Build the old ways. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they, those people, they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Listen to this. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall be double. For your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you are in a precarious situation here. The Bible tells me that we are given the ability to strengthen our church. Listen to me. We're given the ability to strengthen our church through Him. We have to bind up broken hearts. We've got to bring good news to the meek. The Bible tells us we got to help each other. And we'll build our walls again. We got to help each other and care about each other. That's when we'll get our deliverance. There's no better news than that. Because the Lord wants you to have a part. I'm going to tell you, I love our country. I would love to see it return to its glory. Amen. Do you know how we can get that done? It's not by punching out people burning flags. It's not, although I think you should. Hey, say what you want. You can call me what you want. Take away my license to preach. You burn a flag in front of me, I'm punching you in the mouth. It's not that, though, that's going to save our country. It's not that that's going to save our Baptist. It's not going to, that's going to save our Bible. You know what's going to save those things? Binding up the brokenhearted. Preaching good news unto the meek. Setting people free that are in captivity. Helping people to get saved. That's what's going to save our country. Man, let's build the old ways back up. Let's build the old ways. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach today. Lord, I pray with all my heart. I believe our country is the greatest country in the whole planet, and there's never, There's never been a greater country. But Lord, we need your help. America is the country that you chose to propagate your gospel throughout the world. I believe that. But Lord, we need your help. Lord, I believe there's a lot of broken hearts in here today. Lord, please help us to bind them up. Lord, please help us to tell each other good news about great things that you've done for them and stay away from bad news that would help to tear hearts down. Lord, be with these people in a special way this morning. Let them know how much they're cared about and how much they're loved right here at Bethel. How much it means to be an American and how much it means to be a Baptist. Lord, I don't think we ought to take that lightly. Lord, I think that we ought to go out of here with a renewed spirit of care, a renewed spirit and desire to help bind up broken hearts. Lord, please help us to do just that. Help us to bind them. Because, Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, if we had a bunch of strong hearts inside of Bethel Baptist Church, what a forest it would be. Lord, help us. Help us to look to you for the good and look away from the bad. Be with us today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know 100% sure, brother, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Put up those hands real big and tall. I know for sure, real big and tall. You may put them down. Now, not every hand went up. I appreciate your honesty, but I got news for you. The Lord already knew. And I believe that the Lord is putting out a phone call today to folks that need him. They need a Savior today. And I believe that now is that day to be saved. The Lord just wants you to realize that you are a sinner. And you need to repent of that sin. You got to be sorry. And then once you realize that you're sorry, the Lord just calls you so tenderly. And all you got to do is believe in him. Just call on him as Savior, and you shall be saved. You don't have to do cartwheels. You don't have to be anything special. You don't even have to be a Baptist. You just have to get saved. That's all. So every head still bowed and eyes still closed. How many could say, preacher, I really don't know. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. Could you put your hand up real tall? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Are there others? I see two hands. Are there others? There's another. Is there another? Is there another? I see that hand. Is there another? Now is the appointed time. Now is the time to get saved. Dear Lord, please be with these people during the invitation. Lord, let them know that waiting on the other side of your invitation is joy that you're giving them. A way to have their heart bound up, to have their broken heart fixed. Lord, I know that the Christian life is not a bowl of cherries, Lord, but I'm going to tell you right now, it sure is wonderful. Lord, be with these people. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Is that 382? Please turn to 382.